on the boys and girls. Children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I am your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, a.k.a. Bull Scripted, and we are here to recap the heartbreaking Chicago Bulls loss to the Washington Wizards. Before we do that, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs, following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at bullsontap, following Goose at bullscripted, and following me at buzzontap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, so be sure to give us a five-star rating and review. Goose, we dropped this one 105 to 101, and it was kind of a heartbreaking ending there. I mean, we were down about 10 points in the fourth quarter at one point, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it got to 10. It was either eight or 10, but fought our way back in. Typical Bulls loss where it's within 5 points and just a nail biting heartbreaker at the end. So, man, how you doing? Because we didn't do a show over the weekend. You know, how you doing, man?
I mean, I'm wishing we would have done a show over the weekend now, because this one isn't all that fun to talk about. And, you know, off the air, you know, the first question I asked you was, what do you think, foul or no foul? And we both agreed that on that particular play, we don't think that foul should have been called. Zach's got to finish that. That was way too open of a look. He is way too creative and athletic of a finisher to not finish that in that situation. And we're by no means putting this game on Zach. There's a lot of other dumb shit that happened that resulted in us losing. I mean, the last 2 minutes of the game were pretty brutal. It was kind of hard to believe that we were even within a possession at the end there, because our final possessions 2 minutes in looked shaky from about 159 to under a minute there.
Yeah, no, they absolutely did. I mean, even to start this game off, I felt like the Bulls started hot. You know, I mean, they win the first quarter. They get blown out in the second quarter. I mean, you know, 34-21. They outscore the Wizards, though, in every quarter besides the second, where they just had a really, really rough time. Zach LaVine started off aggressive once again. You know, Daniel Gafford started off aggressive tonight. And then, you know, he just got himself into early foul trouble. And, I mean, he finishes with 10 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 5 personal fouls in 15 minutes. Just, he's gotta be careful. I mean, I feel like I would talk the same thing about Wendell, too. You start off effective, you get into foul trouble, you're out the game. You know, it happens. I get it. You know, especially with physical big men. Guys that try to block shots usually run into issues like that quite often in today's NBA. But going around the, you know, just around the box score here, once again, Zach is pretty much your only source of offense besides Denzel, who, I mean, he had probably the most cocky, swagged Bulls entrance I've seen in a while with him in the starting lineup tonight. I even made a GIF out of it for Fred, because
I didn't see it. I must have been snoozing on it a little bit.
It was just a little started. GIF of him coming out. That's all it was. I just made a little GIF of him coming out because I watched the first half of the game on the computer because Jamie was watching The Bachelor, so I lost the TV for a little bit.
You got like 6 TVs in the basement. What do you mean you had to watch the game on the computer? She watching The Bachelor on four TVs?
No, Ren wanted me to stay upstairs, so I had to stay upstairs.
So, okay. No, yeah. No.
So no arguing with the little one, so I said okay. All right. You know, he came out with swag, but he finishes 4 for 13, 11 points, 6 boards, 1 assist. Kobe White, and this is what we were talking about before we started recording, another terrible, terrible night for him. I mean, he 3 for 10 from the field, 8 points, 8 boards, 3 assists. I mean, that's what he finishes with.
And those boards, I'm glad that you mentioned 8 boards. Those boards at the end of the game were huge. Without 2 or 3 boards in those final 2 minutes from Kobe, we're not in the game. And he did hit that big floater. But the fact that he's shown up like 1/4 a game the last few games is not going to cut it, because we're not even getting the best version of Kobe in that quarter.
No, we're not. I mean, he's lost, and I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. It just, like, it was like this downfall that has just, it won't cease to exist. It just keeps happening. And and like you had brought up before we started recording, is the rumors in his head about another point guard coming here? Does he not want to be Ben Gordon 2.0 or whatever people I've loved to call him. You know, I don't know what he wants, but I'm sure he wants to be a starting NBA player and a point guard. I get that, but my God, man, he just is not looking good right now. And I think it's more mental than anything, you know.
Oh, no, it's got to be mental. We know the kid has the skills and the tools to be the player that we've seen him be. It's just he hit this spiral, and we know how Chicago media is. We know how fans are. We're fans ourselves. We're both somewhat on the Lonzo Ball hype train at this point. And I'm hoping that with this new front office, they're being open with the kid and they're trying to talk to him, although we don't really know what's going on with Hutch. He's out indefinitely for personal reasons after having a couple conversations with Billy. So is it the fact that they're being forward that's bothering these young guys? They don't know how to take it because they felt like they were promised things by the previous front office, and now things are... those promises don't matter anymore. I mean, Hutch was literally given a promise, but I mean, it's the truth.
I know.
But I mean, I'd hope this new front office is smart enough to know that, hey, I'm not going to trade Kobe White right now. Lonzo Ball could help Kobe, so I would explain it to him that way, like. Bringing this guy in doesn't mean the end for you. It means putting you in a role that's better suited for you in this team, and, you know, it gives you more time to learn and grow into it instead of being forced into it like you have been this season.
I've talked to so many Bulls fans over, like, the last couple days, like, throughout the weekend and even today. I'm on vacation from work, you know, a little staycation. And, yeah, I know, it's amazing. You know, that's my ideal vacation when I can't go to sporting events.
You're coherent right now.
Oh yeah, no, I am. I'm like I told you, I was drinking my purple drink, my crushed grape soda, my pop. So I'm good right now. Just I had to stay in the zone today, man. I had a lot of shit going on. I had to stay in the zone. But like with Kobe and this rumor of Lonzo coming about, and all these promises that may or may not be made. Like if the front office decided to trade Kobe White, I'm not going to throw a fit because I've given myself to trust AK. And stuff like that, and I'm not trying to throw any unnecessary terrible shade or anything, but to all the people, and this is just really quickly off topic and off the rails a little bit, but to all the people that made fun of me for saying that LaMelo Ball was going to be a fucking bust or whatever, like, that is the guy I wanted to trade up for, and I can't stop thinking about him getting, you know, LaVine or even a healthy Lowry or Wendell when he's healthy into their sets and just making passes. You know, I just look at, like, I know it's a positionless league, a lot of people like to say, but a true point guard definitely helps, and I don't think the door is closed on Kobe White yet. I think he's a young player. I think he is talented. I think he can improve, and what you pointed out in the beginning with, you know, maybe it being mental, that is where he's struggling right now, and that really sucks if that's the case. We really can't afford him to be struggling when you don't have Wendell. You've now lost Lowry for 2 to 4 weeks. You know, Kobe White in the last 5 games, Goose, has not shot over 40% from the 42% from the field. We'll just say that he has in the last 5 games. He's not shot over 42%. He in his last 10 games, he's averaging 12.2 points, 4.5 assists, 3.6 boards, about 2.5 fouls, 2 turnovers. He's shooting 37% from the field. He's shooting 35% from downtown. That's the last 10 for Kobe White right now. So he is struggling mightily.
See, but even struggling, I like those numbers aren't that bad, and I get they're just numbers, and there's a lot more to the eye test than the numbers there, and we can acknowledge that he is definitely struggling with the eye test. So those numbers might even be a little misleading because he's still, you know, putting up double-digit points over that span, close to 5 assists, 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So it's not good, but it's also not like horrible. But like I said, I do feel those numbers are misleading, and it is not as good as you could spin that to sound on paper, because
numbers can always be misleading. Like, that's the thing. Like, you it's where I get into it, like with baseball statistics. You know, like, you know, you look at WAR, but you know, people discredit that, or you look at OPS plus, whatever you want to look at for baseball. It's like misleading, and I feel like unless you completely dive in and do your research on watching film, watching the game, whatever. Numbers serve a purpose, but they're only one side of the story. With Kobe right now, it's just the poor play is just evident while you watch him play, and it's not so much decision making bad. It's just like I think he just gets confused when he starts getting into his sets. Like, okay, like he's coming around, you know, he's gonna come off a screen here, you know, he's gonna come off a screen here, and instead of getting into the play, I think the first thing that pops into Kobe's mind is like, dude, I could blow past this defender right now on the switch and just get right to the fucking hoop. You know, like that's right. And I think it's like this internal battle that might happen. And it's a split second thing, too. It's not
this
like
is what I should do. This is what I want to do.
Right. I mean, and that's what it is, I think. And, you know, plus I think there's probably a lot more pressure on him, too, Goose, because, again, you have fucking two starters that are injured right now. You have two guys
well, that no, are and you have Zach LaVine taking it to an all-star level. And right. Now you're being singled out as the guy that's holding Zach back because you can't take those responsibilities or the pressure off of Zach in those moments to make it a smooth game for him throughout. It's all on Zach at this point without Lowry, Wendell, Garrett Temple. At least his three-point shooting stroke to this point has disappeared from what we had recently, you know, to start the season. So we've lost Temple. Valentine's he's make or break, he's live or die, he's good and bad. Like, he is the most hot and cold player I think I've seen in a Bulls jersey for a long time. He does a lot of things where you're like yes, 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 and no, 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 and then yes again, and I don't know what side he comes out on, positive or negative most nights.
I think that's because of inconsistent play throughout his career, honestly. I mean, I really do. I think that Denzel can be a decent end of the rotation guy who can come in, get you some buckets, maybe even do a little bit of playmaking for you, you know, coming off screens, making the right pass. I just think it's inconsistent play from him throughout his whole career is why he cannot reach his potential here. And, you know, like right now in an evaluation period, we all know we don't want fucking Denzel Valentine on the court for more than 10 minutes. I mean, unless you're Fred. And I think Fred just keeps his shtick going because that's what he does, and that's fine, that's dandy. But, I mean, you look at all the young, and now that we're talking about consistencies, you look at all, like, the young talent that we have on this team. You have people, like, trying to make arguments about who should stay, Lowry or Wendell Carter Jr. Newsflash for everybody. I've been a Lowry stan, and you know this about me. I've been a Lowry stan since we fucking drafted him. Yes, I had my opinions on Wendell Carter Jr., came around to it. This season went in with an open mind. These guys can't fucking stay healthy. I'm fine chipping both of them out right now and hitting the tank button. I swear to God I am. At this point, get something around Zach if you can. Hurry up and do it now because these guys missing months at a time. Lowry bets on himself this offseason.
Lowry didn't have a choice to bet on himself, really.
Well, like I said, he bets on himself. He's going to enter a restricted free agency. And then now what? Now what? You enter restricted free agency. Now you miss time with the little ankle injury, right? Because that was why he first went out. It was with an ankle injury. And then he got exposed to COVID. And then he missed some time. Then he comes back. He's played 14 games. He comes back. Leaves a game early. Comes back in. Leaves a game early. Then now he's going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks. I mean, you can't give this guy fucking money. You can't. You just can't. You can't pay him on potential anymore. Not when you're about to be in your fifth year in the league. Fuck your potential. It's all gone at this point. Wendell Carter Jr., Denzel has to be the most unathletic guy on this team. Not a very strong. He must have been trucking. And like I told you, he's got a baton in his shorts or something to fucking nail Wendell in the thigh or whatever the fuck he did to him and take him out. It's like these guys are. My whole thing now is to get guys around fucking Zach LaVine that can help him win. And a lot of people use this online. I want to get your. And I know we didn't record. We're kind of going all over the place with the game recap and our opinions. But a lot of people are saying they don't want to make the same mistake of trading a Butler like they did for Butler. I did not think trading Jimmy at the time was a big mistake because I didn't want to really give him the supermax. Now with Zach, I just see a young cat who's consistently getting better and a dynamic scorer. Obviously, tonight wasn't the ending we want, but sometimes you miss game-winning shots. Game time, sometimes that happens. But we need to get talent around Zach that will help him thrive and succeed, and we do not have that right now. I think it's
apparent. On the Lowry-Wendell front, yeah, I mean, they both can't stay healthy. Wendell more so than Lowry, but Lowry's been just as frequently in and out. I don't know if you can pay him, but I also don't know if this situation help the Bulls pay him less come the offseason, because maybe other teams will be less hesitant to throw him that big offer that, you know, they're somewhat being forced into trading him. And we've already touched on it. As big of a Lowry stan as I am, if trading him for Lonzo plus a little extra is on the table, that's something that I do, just because I think that fits this team better and it fits Zach better. If that's what you're committing to, then let's do it. Wendell, I think he's been so unavailable, and he's averaged to the point where you're not going to get anything worth trading him for, so you're almost stuck with him, in my opinion. Which isn't a bad thing, because Wendell isn't a bad player, but I don't think he's in that threshold where you're not going to get a good first for him, and he's more valuable than the pick that you could acquire for him. So, you know, maybe we get Lonzo in here. That rumor's catching steam, but Zach definitely needs help. It's not really fair to him, and I don't think that we should trade him. When we traded Butler, we were stuck in mediocrity. We can't even get to mediocrity right now. We can't trade the best thing we have to get even worse and hope that we can tank right now that this lottery system is adjusted. I don't think that's a steadfast plan.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you on that. I just, where I sit right now is people get so crazy and like, well, Lonzo's nowhere near his brother. Like, listen, I have to agree with you right now. You know, like, no shit. LaMelo is out of his fucking mind.
Really? You mean a 19-year-old on a 4-year rookie contract that's better than the other guy wasn't the better option?
Dude,
and I mean, balling. Hey, a consolation prize of his older brother and Patrick Williams around Zach LaVine isn't the worst thing ever, all right?
No, it's not.
So if we make that happen, it won't be the worst consolation prize. But, yeah, watching LaMelo do what he's doing, finally starting for Charlotte while we're going through what we're going through without a ball handler is not really fun, being one pick away. We're just a couple picks away, like 4 times in a row. This shit hurts, man.
No, yeah, it sucks every fucking time. And, like, that's the thing. Ever since the trade rumors, I kind of borrowed this from Bulls Hype. I wish I knew his real name and I could give him credit, but it's, like, at Bulls Hype on Twitter, I think it is. But, like, he had shown the last 9 games since the trade rumors with Lonzo really popped up. This has been going on for a while. You know, obviously there's been talks here for a while. Now, the news broke with Rich Paul and them, you know, saying that Chicago is a preferred destination. So obviously that's going to get shit really, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire a lot of the time.
But on that note, I hate to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I'm believing this is going to tie into Kobe. Kobe would not be traded in this deal unless he was going to another team. Pelicans have Bledsoe, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Kira Lewis Jr. They're trading Lonzo because they have to get rid of one of Bledsoe or Lonzo to make way for the 2 young guards that they have on their roster, and yeah. Lonzo actually has value.
Well, yeah, not only that. I mean, it's just, you know, the Pelicans are going to look to add somebody who's not like a Bledsoe and a Lonzo. I don't think that inconsistent scoring kind of screams to both of those young men that I just mentioned right now. You know, where Kobe right now, he has shown in the past he has the ability to light up a scoreboard, but at the same time, I don't know if that's exactly who they'd be looking for. I'd assume it'd be a big. I could be wrong. I mean, they have Ingram, they have Zion. You know,
Steven Adams, just extended on another $17 million contract or
right,
something
so, I mean,
like
there's,
that.
There's definitely – I just – LaVine's not a part of it. Maybe Lowry. I'm not 100% sure. But
Did you see those tweets?
Oh, yeah.
Under the rumors?
Yeah.
Of Pelicans fans thinking that they're getting LaVine and, like, picks for Lonzo?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, we're going to give you picks? No. That's unreal. That's the status of NBA fans now. Like it just fucking blows my mind. But some NBA fans, I don't want to sound too ignorant, but the last 10 games for Lonzo Ball, he's getting 28 minutes a game, Goose, 45% from the field, 42% from downtown, 14.3 points, 1.6 steals, 5 assists, 4.3 boards. He's only averaging 1.4 turnovers, but he is shooting 66.7% from the free throw line, which just fucking drives me bananas. But he has put a string of his last four games in a row that have been pretty damn impressive, especially the last three. He's put up some pretty good numbers scoring-wise. He's creating separation. He's playing a lot more. He's actually playing on ball if you watch Pelicans basketball. He is controlling the tempo. They're not doing the point forward shit with Zion right now or having Brandon Ingram bring the ball up. Lonzo has been getting them in their sets for the last 7-8 games. And
is this the Nico Mirotic effect? He's getting traded. He's on the trading block, so now it's time to kick some ass so I can get the hell out of here?
Right. That might be it. That really might be it. I have no idea, but he's playing really well. He's 23 years old. He's a good point guard. So, I mean, that's someone that I'd definitely be willing to give a shot next to Zach LaVine. And that's not it. Like, every stat that I just named off isn't the best part about his game. The best part about his game, obviously besides his playmaking, is the fact that he will be on an All-NBA defensive team. He is a great perimeter defender, and that is something the Bulls are lacking right now. Lacking. It would have been really nice tonight not to have Garrett Temple guarding, you know, Bradley Beal. He did a good job. But Temple doesn't, if Temple's shot's not falling, he's not adding much else besides that defense. At least if Lonzo's shot's not falling, he can still kind of get to the rim. He can break down a defense. He makes the right pass. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can get your guys in their sets.
This is officially the Lonzo Ball podcast now, you know.
It kind of fell into it, yeah. You know, I really wanted to touch on Lowry, too, and just how I don't want to beat a dead horse. How disappointed I am. I know he can't control an injury. He can't.
No, yeah. Like,
it just sucks.
I guess that's what's kind of killing me is, you know, he's a big guy, and the issue is he's shooting guard in a 7-footer's body. And when you're a shooter and you're that big and you're down there with big guys, they are going to yank on their arms. They are going to hit you in the ribs. They are going to beat you up. You're a big guy. That's what's supposed to happen to you. And unfortunately, Lowry's not really built for it, and we'll see if Wendell's built for it once he gets back. But to this point, neither of them have shown that they are really built for the NBA schedule. 82 games of getting your ass kicked by somebody just as strong or stronger than you night in and night out. I don't know if that'll ever change. You'd like to think it was. I think I had an argument about the difference between an accident and being injury prone with somebody on Twitter earlier today. But at a certain point when you're not playing over 50 games or you're not hitting 45 games in Wendell Carter Jr.'s case, you're injury prone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around it, even if it's just the worst string of luck in the world. So I don't know how we're going to change that, but the Lonzo Ball stuff, he fits everybody on this team. No matter who stays or goes, Lonzo isn't going to be the problem. And I think that's what it comes down to. If you got to move Lowry or you got to move Wendell to do it, then you do it. I don't know that they want a big like Wendell. It probably would be Lowry. I'm hoping it's Denzel and Hutch or Sato and Hutch or Sato and Denzel. That would be the most ideal. How do you feel?
You still keep the core together if you do something like that. Yeah.
How do you feel about a future 2023 lottery protected first opposed to trading Kobe or Lowry? Would you do that instead?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. I mean, I wouldn't like – just because I'm intrigued at how the – core would look, but maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'm lying to you right now because, like I said,
you lying to me.
I think I might be.
You just telling me what I want to hear, Buzz.
I don't know
what you're doing.
I didn't mean to. There's a part of me, man, that like really wants to see this core play together, but now I have serious doubts that they're going to because one of them is always hurt, and it's just how long do you sit and wait? You're 3 years into Wendell Carter Jr. You're 4 years into Lowry Markkanen. You know, like, at this point...
But in the same breath, they're what, 22 and 23?
I know.
If we would have gave up on Zach LaVine at 23 like everybody told us to, we wouldn't be seeing what we're seeing right now.
No, you make a very valid point. But in the defense of my opinion, I don't think that Wendell Carter Jr., maybe Lowry, maybe, and that's a huge stretch I'm making, fucking massive, maybe Lowry could be a dynamic guy who's going to get you 20 to 21 a night throughout the course of an NBA season. Maybe. And I'm stretching, like I said, that's a stretch. Wendell, no. Wendell is going to give you average defense, and he's going to, if he shoots that midi with consistency, I mean, fucking A. Hell yeah, he'd be great.
Hey, fuck him. Daniel Gafford's got a mini now. We saw that shit tonight. Let's get it rolling.
That's there you go. Let's get it popping. That's another funny thing is people like shit on me for like saying, well, when you said that, oh, we didn't need Wendell, we have Daniel Gafford. I'm like, well, yeah, I kind of said that for a couple reasons. One of the reasons is we don't really need him because we're gonna suck with him regardless. Number one. Number two, he's always fucking hurt, so it's a good thing we have Daniel Gafford.
Well, and the issue is we usually don't have both of them. At least when we do, they both can be in foul trouble, which they're both very good at getting into. When you only got one of them, you're screwed. I actually think I would have rather seen Cornette than Felicio. There was two consecutive turnovers in the fourth quarter with about 10, it was somewhere between 10 and 8.5 minutes left, where Felicio just chucked the ball out of bounds twice in a row. And I was just like, why am I enduring this torture?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just rotation sucks with all the injuries right now. It's I mean it's not good. And for the people that are just like, and it's so crazy to me too. Like we're finished talking about this game before we move into the next one. But what's so crazy to me is the guy that really kept you in tonight's game was Zach, and the people just love to shit on him for not being able to win that game. But in the same breath,
He's getting killed on Twitter right now.
yeah, they're talking shit about how the Bulls suck and like laughing that Denzel's in the rotation and Kobe's doing this, but they're shitting on Zach too. Like, he can't do that. He was the only reason we were in the fucking game. Like, and that's
And they're
what.
the same people that'll say we should trade for Bradley Beal, who just won his sixth game of the season and hasn't won a game scoring 40 points in like 20, the last 20 tries. He's setting NBA records for losing streak with 40 plus points. So how you call it Zach an empty stats guy and then tell me we got to trade for Bradley Beal because we'd be better? I mean, I get we just lost tonight, but the Wizards lost to us twice before this.
I'll tell you the honest God truth. You hypothetically trade Zach LaVine for Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal has the edge on Zach on being maybe a more complete player right now in their
I know, yeah.
walks of life. Bradley Beal, but it's pretty much the same outcome. You're going to have the same outcome.
Well,
So
yeah, because you're going to
unless.
give up extra shit to get Beal, because
Right.
we all agree that he's an incrementally better player.
Right. Unless I have like word that Bradley Beal is going to drag in some star free agent because they want to play with him right away, that would be the only time I'd be like, okay, yeah, you send the fucking farm over there, because
Kevin Durant's leaving the Nets
right.
because James and Kyrie can't get along. He just wants out of there. That's completely just me making shit up.
Right.
I'm not
No, yeah, no.
insinuating anything,
No, yeah, it's just being hypothetical. Like, I mean, it's just like what we're
hey,
doing right
dude,
now.
people take stuff way too seriously. I gotta cover my own ass. I don't need to hear that I'm talking shit about Kyrie and James not getting along and I'm making shit up.
Right.
I'm making a joke. It was completely not factual.
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, we would, obviously everybody would be healthy and we could really evaluate this team at full strength. And unfortunately for us, for how many years in a row that we've been doing this pod now, how many episodes that we're into it, how many years that we've been talking in general and watching Chicago Bulls basketball pre-podcast days, it's just this is always seems to be the fucking the normal.
No,
Is
Otto
that
Porter, and we didn't even talk about Otto Porter Jr.,
what is
who
there to talk
there's
about?
really no, there's no, there's, that's the thing, there's nothing to talk about. You're better just to forget about him. He's $28 million worth of dead money on your roster because I guess he just doesn't want to play basketball anymore.
When I saw the no timetable for him to fucking return, I'm like, you know what, dude? I'm like, I am so sick of this shit. Like, it's unbelievable. So then I think, and this is before the Hutch news came out, then I think, well, you know what, man? We're not a playoff year anyway. Like, I didn't think he'd be here next year. We'll see Hutch gets some minutes here. Let's see what he can do. And then the fucking news comes out that Hutch and Billy had some sort of conversation. I'm thinking it was about playing time. I think that Billy probably told Hutch he didn't deserve playing time. And then I think Hutch freaked the fuck out, and Hutch is choosing to now sit out. That is my opinion. I hope it was personal reason. So if I'm wrong, I'm hoping that everything is okay with him and his family. I
If
want to
you're
throw it.
wrong, if you're wrong, you're an asshole. I
Right.
think I deleted a tweet because I was like, yeah, personal reasons, I don't want to walk on that ground, because I had the same thinking. It was Billy was like, hey dude, there's no denying that you're a good basketball player and you have potential, but I'm running a strict 8 to 9 man rotation, and as of right now, you're not breaking that line. So stay ready, and if
I
your
just,
time comes, I need you.
it just wasn't the answer he wanted. It just
No.
wasn't the answer he wanted. So I mean, that's where the fuck we're at now. So now he's sitting out, and it's just like you're sitting there, and you're like, Jesus H, like how bad? Because I think Billy is a great mind for talent. Like how bad does Hutch have to be to not play over somebody like Cristiano Felicio or Ryan Arcidiacono? Like what the fuck am I doing? Like he was drafted in the first round of a draft, buddy. He was a 22nd pick. I know it was by
Well, and I
the old
was
regime, but
and I was a Hutch believer, man. He has the tools. He has the
he's
hairline. He has no fucking touch around the rim, at the free throw line, on his, he's got no touch. He's got every move in the book. He's an athlete. He's a plus defender. He's a versatile defender. He just can't stay healthy, and he has no fucking touch. But good news for Chandler. He can be a hair model when he's out of the NBA, because he's got way more hair than he needs. I don't even know if he has eyebrows.
Does he have eyebrows? See, why'd you
I,
not?
he's got like a two head, bro.
Okay, I was gonna have to Google it. I just wanted to make sure.
No, he's got eyebrows. He's just
Just.
got a two head. You're supposed to have a four head. Some people got a five head. Hutch has got like a 1-2 head.
I think my shit's receding. I don't know, though. It's like
Oh
gone.
no, my shit's receding as all hell. I wish that I had a two head. Trust me. I'm jealous. I'm not hating. I'm jealous.
Oh my God. So obviously with the Bulls loss tonight, they have lost, what is it now? Is it two out of the last five or three out of the last five? Because they beat the Knicks the one night and then they lost the Knicks and they beat the Magic and they lost the Magic. Or they lost the Magic and beat Magic. Now, yeah. So do I, oh my God,
All
dude.
right, so
There needs to be
you're
a
currently
shakeup.
down on Lowry, so maybe I don't want to hear your answer right now. Do you believe the Bulls are better without Lowry
That's fucking stupid.
Markkanen? Okay, I'm just
No,
making
I'm
sure,
serious.
man.
That's just a fucking stupid thing to say. Like, no,
Okay.
we're not fucking better
All
without
right.
Lauri Markkanen. He is not so bad that he drives down the value of the team.
No, I thought 19 points per game on 50, 40, 85 shooting, at least in this 14 games, even with the ups and downs of Lowry, was pretty all right. I don't know.
Are people saying that?
People out there legitimately making the argument that the Bulls are better off without Lowry Markkanen.
Depends on
Fred
what you
is.
could get back for him, but if he were just to vanish off the face of the earth, I don't think they're a better
Fred.
fucking basketball team.
Our friend Fred is one of them. He said the
Okay.
Bulls are 4-4 without Lowry, so it's just evidence that they can compete without him, even though their four wins were against the Magic, the Wizards, the Mavericks without Luka and Porzingis, and the Trailblazers, who we ended up then losing to, with Lowry scoring 31 points on 12 of 18 shooting on a stupid jump ball buzzer beater bullshit. So yes, that was generally a notion, and I just had to make sure that it's not my Lowry bias that's clouding my judgment here,
Just a
because I thought
really,
that
that one's over. That's literally over the top.
that was.
That's over the
Okay.
top. That's just stupid. I can't even entertain that. Like that's dumb. Anyway, so Wednesday night we are rolling.
We get to go see Lonzo Ball.
Yes, we get to see Lonzo Ball. So he is more than likely going to lay a fucking egg because I've been all about him for a long while now. But he's probably going to lay a fucking egg on
Nope, they're
Wednesday.
going to sit him out because he's just going to swap jerseys at the end of the night. He's just coming to our locker room and coming home with us.
I'd be cool with that. I mean, he's, yeah,
Yeah, it would be nice.
I would be nice. I mean, Lonzo Ball and the Pelicans come to town, so it's really cool because we get to see Zion and Brandon Ingram, who's, I mean, they have a fun young team. It's kind of like watching, the Hornets. I like to watch the Pelicans, not just because
And
there's.
they're going to get Zach LaVine and a whole bunch of first round picks from Lonzo Ball, so they're about to get even better.
I don't get it anymore. Oh my Lord, dude. Like I again, I think I think that people have the right to think, because I mean, New Orleans has a ton of first round picks, like a ton.
Oh no! If you're getting Zach LaVine, I'm leaving with half a treasure chest to something, man.
Right?
I'm sorry, okay,
I'm not gonna.
Fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck
like
you.
I'm high.
You got Zion Williamson from seventh. You know how many times I've been seventh in a lottery as a Bulls fan the last few fucking years? You start seventh the one year I'm not seventh, and you get Zion Williamson, and you think I'm gonna give you Zach LaVine and first round picks for the lesser player?
It just shows you, like, the basketball gods hate Chicago. Like, we must have sold our soul for Jordan or something, because, like,
maybe it was Rose. Maybe Jordan was gifted to us, and then we sold our soul to get another chance, and before we got what we deserved, we had our knight in shining armor taken from us.
Because I thought that 777 was supposed to be a good thing, and then it's just not.
There's too many sevens now.
It's just too many sevens.
Seven's my favorite number. It's everywhere in my life, but there's too many sevens now.
And then fucking Tibbs is back there getting the band back together in New York. I mean, I heard he's going to call up Lou and fucking Joakim and trade for, you know, trade every first round pick they have for Jimmy.
And Booz is going to spray paint his head and make
just,
it look like he's back in his 30s.
He's just
going to
be an assistant coach on the sidelines screaming, "Grab that shit, Joe!" Like, it's all he's going to do the whole time. So, you know, Tibbs has got that going on. Did you see Derek's wearing number 4, too?
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that either. It makes me sick. I don't know why, but it just really upsets me. But that's all I have for tonight, man. Bulls lost this one. Heartbreaker. We'll be back Wednesday. Fucking A, man.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll close it with hopefully that stung bad enough for AK to just say, fuck it, we're getting Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, no shit, right? Everybody be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at ontapsportsnet, following Goose at Bull Scripted, following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So be sure to give us a 5-star rating and review. We'll be back after the Bulls play the New Orleans Pelicans. Live look at future Chicago Bulls point guard Lonzo Ball in action against the Bulls on Wednesday night. Let's go, Bulls.